I want to thank the Lord again this afternoon for his great goodness and mercies unto me. I want you to know that I am leaning hard on the Lord, and I would really appreciate your prayers that the word of the Lord will be profitable this afternoon. So a beginning thought today is, it's a very broad subject. It's very familiar to us all, but it impacts our daily walk with God. And the title for this little message this afternoon is, There is a Way. There are numerous scriptures in both the Old and the New Testament which have spoken to us, not only through his word, but through countless messages. So this message will just be added to all of the others. My personal thoughts to the New Testament and what Jesus spoke of himself. John 14 and 6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And he said this in answer to a question that Thomas had posed. He said, how can we know the way? We know from all of the past teachings that Jesus is the only way to redemption and salvation, that there is no other way whereby men shall be saved, but that God hath made a way to the saving of our souls and to being reconciled with God the Father. Jesus is the way to eternal life. It was through the shedding of his life's blood and that he made a way for the whole world. We know that through his death and his resurrection, that a way was made for our resurrection unto life eternal. Thank the Lord. But it is possible that we all, from time to time, could have the same question as Thomas. Lord, how can we know the way as we go along the way? So we're going to look unto Jesus as our way maker. I heard that term and really liked that. Jesus being the way maker. But I want to use this verse in the beginning, Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. For consider, and I've worded this my way, for consider what he endured, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So Jesus is not just the author and finisher of our faith, but he's the director of our way. There's another scripture in Ezekiel. I'm just going to give part of it. It says, they stood at the parting of the way, at the head of two ways. I'm looking back at the point of when I got saved, and maybe you will look back at the point where you got saved and you stood at the parting of the ways. There had to be a choice made. We had to make a decision. We had to turn away from a life of sin and destruction, and we had to make a choice, a life choice. The two ways that were before us, we all know. One was the broad way that leads to eternal destruction. The other way is the straight and the narrow way that leads to life. It is the straight and the narrow way that's a difficult way. It is the way of hills and valleys, and it's a way of trials and tests and afflictions and sorrow. And when we choose this way, we must count the cost. And we want to emphasize the straight and the narrow way this afternoon as we begin. That may not be our total focus, but we want to begin with it. And just as Jesus chose the way of the cross, Jesus understood what that meant. It was to be a way of endurance, and it was to be a way of suffering, but he chose that way. So again, I say, how can we know the way? I remember a little vision. I'm not sure whether I was dreaming or asleep or awake, but it happened many, many years ago. And I still can envision it in my mind today. But the picture was a vast picture rimmed with rugged mountains and a dry desert. It seemed as though I was standing at the beginning of a very narrow path that crossed a vast desert. And the path was just wide enough for me. Well, we know the scripture that Jesus is never going to leave us nor forsake us, that he'll be with us on these narrow, difficult paths. And as we went, there were huge boulders that would stand in the way, seemingly to block our way. In every case where I met the boulders, even now I cannot recall how I got around it or over it or through it, but the path continued on, and I met these places all along the way. And I believe that's the message this afternoon, is that we will consider the way that is before us, the path that we will walk. I want to give you some short little verses from Psalms that speaks about the way. And it says in one, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path." You know, the Lord is interested in us being able to know the way. He isn't wanting to make it so complicated that we won't know the way, the plain path. I believe that he will open up the way for us to maybe understand or see, but there will be times that we will be setting our foot out on a path, taking a step that we may not be able to see right where we put our foot. Another one is, "Thou wilt shew me the path of life." You know, there's a path of life for each one of us. God is designating your path, and he's designating my path. And he knows what he wants to put in our path. And as we said, there were boulders that blocked our path. There's going to be obstacles along your path and along my path. Another scripture says, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let thy ways be established." Well, I believe that the Lord is calling for each one of us as we count the cost of the choice of the straight and the narrow way, that we consider that the promises of God, the word of the Lord, and how that he has promised to be with us Even though we may not feel him, or even though we may not hear his voice, and even though that path may be seemingly narrow, so narrow that it's only for one set of footprints. Remember the poem where there were two sets of footprints, and how that the writer of the poem eventually saw just one set of footprints, and he thought that it was his own footprints, but it was not. Those were the footprints of Jesus, and Jesus was bearing the rider in his arms. Maybe each one of us can look back. I can. I can look back over my many years of living for the Lord, and I know that God carried us many times, and he wants to carry each one of us in our walk with him. So we ponder those paths of our feet, and we let all of our ways to be established. And then the word of the Lord also says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. I'm going to a scripture now in Jeremiah 10 and 23. And it says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Probably you've read that scripture before. I remember when Lorne got saved, that was one of the first scriptures that he memorized and held on to. He recognized he did not have it in himself to know how to direct his steps. We're just simply incapable of knowing how to find our own way. And so when we recognize that we need to be dependent upon the one who can make a way for me, who can make a way for you, it points us then to the scripture in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord. Oh, that's going to be the only way that we can find our way, is to turn our attention and our cries, our voices turned toward the Lord, and trusting in the Lord with all of our heart. And we simply do not lean to our own understanding. And in all of our ways, acknowledge him. And what will he do? He will direct our paths, thank the Lord. The path that the Lord is ordering for us today, it is a safe way, thank the Lord. We can be safe as long as we are following that path that he is leading us on. I heard a story recently that someone told me to encourage me. And it was a story, it was supposed to be a true story. And there were two women and one man that were expert sailors. And then they had two guests that were on their sailboat with them, a man and a woman, and they knew nothing about sailing. As they were sailing out on the ocean, they encountered a very violent storm, which ultimately capsized their sailboat. In their preparation, they had a little sailboat that held all of the supplies to survive should this happen. In the whole process of trying to save each one, one of the guests that were on the sailboat some way cut loose the cord for the surviving little boat that held all of their saving supplies. So here they are now. They're all in one little boat and have nothing, no water, no food, nothing to sustain them. Time goes on, and they know that they will perish unless they are saved. Maybe 4 days into this event, the one that was the captain, the one that was very knowledgeable, he had been an expert sailor, and he became a little disoriented, and he was so thirsty that he gave in and started drinking the seawater. And the two women that were also experts, they knew what would happen. The other man, he also did the same thing. And in their deranged mind, they stepped off into the water and perished. The other woman that was just a guest also perished. So now it's down to the two women. And they were terribly thirsty themselves. But they knew. They knew that if they made a wrong choice here, they would perish. And they sustained, endured the thirst, did not give in to it because they knew it was the right thing to do. And in just a day or two, another boat came and they were saved. You know, when we take the right way and we just simply choose to do right, no matter what the obstacles, no matter what hindrance might come, no matter what battle might come, no matter how we are fighting in the battles, ultimately, let our bottom line choice be to do the right thing. It will save us. I believe that that's a very encouraging story for each one of us, that we will choose to do the right thing and take the right way. A scripture in Isaiah 43 and 16 and verse 19, parts of those verses. Thus saith the Lord, which make a way in the sea and a path in mighty waters. I will even make a way in the wilderness. Well, when you think about a ship that is sailing across the Atlantic Ocean, it leaves a path for just a short time, and then the waters come together. And you cannot see that path. The same would be in the wilderness. You can walk on a path in the wilderness, and because of lack of seeing landmarks, it all looks the same. After a while, you aren't able to see where you've come from or where you're hardly going. The Lord wants us to be able to trust Him, though we cannot see where we're taking another step, how we're going to go, what direction, but He will give it, lead us. Another one in Isaiah 42 and 16, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I'm going to tell you, in my past, I've had many places that I didn't know where to turn or what to do or how to go. It was almost like I was blind, and yet the Lord always was there to lead me in the next step. I'm going to tell you, probably you've heard this, seems like it was Brother Salmon's, and maybe it's even been told in the last little while, but he had a dream, and he was up against a sheer wall, and there was no other way to go but over to climb this wall. And it seemed as though I may not have the story just exactly right. But as he reached up, a peg came out. And as his foot came up, a step came out. And as he had to, by faith, reach up and take hold and move his foot. And with every act of faith, there was a step, there was a peg, and he was able to go across that sheer mountain in his dream. So we go back to this one, this verse in Isaiah 42. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Isn't that a wonderful scripture that could inspire our faith? I heard another story that was told to me to encourage me where I am right now, and I hope I can repeat it as it was told to me. It was Brother Clifford Cole. He was talking about flying. Well, I know nothing about flying an airplane. I may be fascinated by it, but I know nothing about flying. He said that as a pilot, specifically in the smaller planes, of course, when they start out flying, they register their flight plan, oftentimes, a pilot can get up in the clouds or fog, and it does something to their mind. It causes them to become disoriented to where they cannot fly a plane like they normally do. The danger, and it is a great danger, he said, many pilots have crashed thinking they were flying straight, and they were flying straight down to the ground. So they have a way to fly when you're not able to see the ground or any landmarks. You fly by what is called the instruments. Now, you cannot fly by instruments without special training. It is very difficult, because it takes working against that part of your mind that thinks is right when it's wrong. And it made me think of the scripture that said, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end is death. And so the pilot has to know how to do this, has to be trained and has to have a license in order to fly by instruments. As he flies by instruments, he doesn't have just one instrument. He will have three instruments that he continually checks, and he verifies that they're all the right level, height. He has several different instruments that will make him know he's not banking or diving. He's flying straight. It's very fascinating to hear about how a pilot can fly by instruments. There are instruments that will tell if he is descending or ascending, and many of these kind of instruments will get you safely through by flying by the instruments. When you don't know, when you cannot tell where you are or how you're flying. He told about a one that was taking his test for getting his instrument license. And the instructor was with him. Maybe he was just getting trained. I'm not sure. And so what the instructor did, he took one instrument and he covered it up. And he said, "Now what are you going to do?" And the pilot, the one that was training, said, "Well, I'm going to find the nearest landing field and land." And the instructor said, "No, you're going to start reading these other instruments." So you see, we don't have to just land and quit. When I was thinking of all of this, it made me think of the scripture that said, "In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established." So we can fly. We can walk. When we can't see where to turn to the left or the right, when we can't see before us and we know not what path to go, yet we can fly by the instruments, by the word of the Lord. And I'm thinking of how that the Holy Spirit can be represented here as the flight instructor and teaching us and guiding us to be able to walk safely and arrive safely at our destination. Thank the Lord. So that little story, it encouraged me as they were telling me that. Our next scripture, we have just two more scriptures. Isaiah 35 and 8, it says, "An highway shall be there and a way. The wayfaring men," who are the wayfaring men? The reference in my Bible says, "They who walk the road." So that's you and me. We're on this highway, and it is a way. It's a way that has been provided by our waymaker. And it says, "The wayfaring men, they who walk the road, shall not err therein." And our final scriptures, Isaiah 30, 20 and 21. "Though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner." What does that mean? Oh, we're going to be in places where we may not even understand what we're supposed to be learning by these things, what the teachers are trying to say to us in the place of affliction or the place of adversity. But it says they'll be removed into, they won't be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thy ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it," when ye turn to the right or when ye turn to the left. Seemed like there was one other scripture that came to my mind. I may not be able to remember it now, but I want to encourage us today. Whatever obstacle is in your path, and every one of us will meet obstacles in the way, places where we will have battles, and yet God is the way maker for us. And even though he gives us these places of adversity and these places of affliction, he will not let us be, well, it will be like the scripture we just read, that he will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. So God is able to help you and me find the way. He will lead us in right paths. He'll take the crooked places, he'll make them straight. He'll make the darkness light. And He will not forsake us. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for his word today to encourage us as we sometimes may not know the way. Thank the Lord.